Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, starting with verse 20. 40, starting with verse 20, 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you speak, Lord, that you guide us in our daily walks with you. Please speak through me, Lord, and bless the youth of this church and all and your souls. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read this one more time. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strengths. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful verse. I look at the youth of our church and I see what a wonderful youth we have. What a blessed we are to have our youth together. Amen. We really do. And I look at the youth and I see how blessed you are and how gifted you are and how many opportunities you have in the future. I look at you and I see how successful, how God-fearing, how loving and caring you are going to be. I see each one of you as a parent, as a father or mother. I see each one of you how it's going to be a leader in the church and in the community. Some of you may be wealthy and ambitious, but in all, you're going to have a bright, bright future. Now, you might think I'm trying to motivate, be a motivational speaker. But see, unlike the motivational speaker, I know for a fact that your future is bright because you have God on your side. Okay, you know the true God, Almighty, the one that says that I am, right? Alpha and Omega. He's our God, and therefore we live for the future and know for a fact that our future will be amazing. We do not live for the present. Yes, we live in a physical present world, but our mind and our spirit and our soul looks forward to the future. Our mind and hope is in the future when we rise and meet Jesus Christ and spend eternity with him. Think about it this way. If every day you would do things that would be eternal, trust me, after I looked at that, I thought most of the things I do are a waste of my time. Because realistically, if we're going to do things every day that are going to be eternal, our life should be different. You see, our citizenship is heaven. Philippians 3, verse 20. We're not from here. We are only ambassadors. About a year and a half ago, we spoke about that. But our future is in heaven, and our eyes are upon Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I picked this topic, you see, because we do so many things. We acquire so many stuff. And it's all temporary. It's all about the things now. But the question becomes, is it eternal? Is it about, are these things that we do, and of course it doesn't really work, need some help? There you go. Is it eternal? So many things we do and so many decisions we make, are they for temporary reasons? Are they for now instead of being temporary? We think about temporary things, right? We think about being popular, having a status, good looks, of course, material possessions, who has most shoes. Actually, check that out. I do more than my wife. Clothes, cars, food, right? Temporary things, things that we gain. However, when we think about eternal things, we think about serving others. We think about forgiveness, love, kindness towards others. When we live in the present, we are surrounded by temporary things. You see, I kind of, around you, there's all these things, cars, friends, house, good looks, money. But what happens if these things start to cease to exist? You see, one by one, they cease to exist. You are left with nothing, just with you, by yourself. But if you are going to surround yourself with eternal things, what's going to happen if you cease to exist? And we know that that's our end anyway. Some people are younger, some are older. But if we cease to exist and some of these things disappear, guess what you are left with? With access to God's kingdom. That's why the eternal things are so important, because you have access, if all those things are gone, to God's kingdom. He promises that we are inheritance of His kingdom. How amazing is that? That we are promised kingdom of God. Well, let's take a little closer look at what the Bible says about eternal and temporary things. Materialism, right? It's the biggest topic. The acquiring of things in this world. We're taught about acquiring more and more and more, and if we could just never end. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 says, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, your heart is." So it's a matter of the heart. If our heart is in this world, then we're going to be acquiring treasures here. But if our heart, because we have accepted Jesus Christ in our lives, through the blood, we are saved. And through the cross, we died. We died with Jesus Christ. So we're not from here. We're from up there with Him. So you may ask, what's the big deal about acquiring treasures on earth and acquiring materialism? You see, the desire to acquire materialism sidetracks you from your fate. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from their faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Well, you may look at that verse and say, you said some. But it's not, I'm not some. I'm better than some. Well, let's go to what Jesus Christ Himself said in Matthew 6, 24. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and materialism. You can't acquire more of Jesus, and you can't acquire more of Jesus and the world. You have to acquire more and more of Jesus Christ. The desire to store more here on earth temporarily can lead to a trap of ruin. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 7 says, "For we have brought nothing in the world, so we cannot take anything out of it." We've came in like Adam and Eve, little kids, naked. We're going to go and die. But our spirit and our souls are going to go in heaven. What's the solution to materialism? And I researched this a lot. And it's not an easy answer. But in Colossians 3:1-3, it says very specific, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. For you have died and you live in the hidden..." Your life is hidden with Christ in God. So our priorities have to change. Our priorities must be the priority of Jesus Christ Himself. Since we're not of this world, God has supplied us with the ability to gain a few things in this world to survive. We do need a few things. But see, God also gave us the ability to get more every day, to use that, whether it's money, whether it's your intellect, whatever you use, God is giving you, He's letting you acquire that to serve Him, to serve Him in the church, to serve Him in your community, to serve Him with your friends. The treasures are in heaven, not out here. How can we acquire heavenly treasures? Well, first is sanctification, developing your moral values and moral character. We need to be more like Jesus. Thus, we need to spend our time and effort not to acquire more stuff, but to be more like our Savior. Being a fellowship with God and His church. You see, the more time we spend with God, walking in His footsteps, repeating what Jesus did, we increase our treasures in heaven. By accepting Christ's forgiveness. So many times as young, we grow up in this world of not understanding what forgiveness is, and maybe sometime we'll have a chance to speak about forgiveness, actually just forgiveness. But accepting by God's forgiveness, you have the opportunity to do the same unto others. By forgiving others, by forgiving your friends, your family, anybody, in accepting Jesus Christ's forgiveness, you can repeat it yourself and acquiring heavenly treasures. Serving others, it's kind of self-explanatory. Use what you get here on earth to serve others, thus acquiring treasures in heaven. It is very important that we are very careful what we live for, eternity or the present times. Acquiring things on earth can cloud our minds, decision-making, and worst of all, our eternity. It's very important that we stop gaining more materialistic and become we're more materialistic and actually become more holy and more spirit, more into serving God and acquiring things in heaven. Well, here's the sort of like a situation with materialism, and I read this sort of joke, right? The very wealthy, rich person bought a brand new Mercedes, and he went to work, and he parked it right in front of the office, and office door, so he can show it to all his friends. Well, as he's getting out of the car, a truck comes by and rips the door off. The first thing he gets is gets his iPhone, you know, calls 911. It's an emergency. The police officer comes in and says, you know, asks him what's going on, and he's just rambling about what, you know, he just bought the car. This car's never going to look the same. Oh, my goodness, the body shop will tell me that they can make it perfect. It's never going to be perfect again. The police officer looks at him and says, oh, you poor soul, poor person, you worry more about your car and your possessions, and you do not look at other things. And he says, why? What should I look at? What do you mean, sir? To which he says, you do not see that your arm is missing below your elbow. You care about your possessions, to which the person says, oh no, I lost my Rolex. Do you see the problem? Still not worrying about the hand. The Rolex is the most important things. Possession of this world. Well, in conclusion, I do want to read from you from Haggai. Took me a little while to find them in the Bible. So Haggai, right? Chapter 1. This is sort of the warning for us, the youth and the church. And explains why we should be aware and be careful what we do. Haggai chapter 1 says, verse 4, it is time for you yourself to be living in a paneled house while the house remains a ruin. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thoughts to your ways. You have planned much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways, each and every day of our life. I pray that we continue doing that. Amen.